our man in Vegas by way of the Bay Area, Joe Fortenbaugh, 95.7 The Game, the Daily Wager on the Four Letter Network. He has gone Miami Vice, and that's the look he keeps presenting to the public, and we are with you, Joe. You are a dashing and dapper figure, and no one can play the Miami cop like you, my friend.
What's up, Crockett?
Well, I appreciate that because I've talked to you guys more this trip than I talked to my wife. So here we go. The moment of truth has finally arrived. Yep. We've done all the updates. We've talked about the injuries. We're through the practices. We got the props. We got the sides. We got the totals. You guys just steer me wherever you want to go. I'm all ready for you.
Let's start with the props because that's where the fun is, right? I mean, it's fun to be invested in a bunch of these goofy bets. And Dustin is sitting here with the notebook out and the pen ready. And he's excited for it, Joe.
All right. The first thing I'm going to tell you with these is that none of them are all that fancy or creative. I'd love to give you the cross sport props or the Gatorade color props, but I don't have any of that right now. I will tell you that tomorrow, Saturday, is when you generally get word on the national anthem. So if there's anything going on there, I'll be tweeting about it. And then Sunday, I believe, is when you start to hear about the Gatorade color, which is what you'll see with the market. But these are just straight ahead props, some of which we've talked about this week. I'm going to start with George Kittle plus 135 to score a touchdown in this game. The variance you see with the Niners and how they use Kittle is too much for me to get involved in his receptions or his receiving yards. Some games this year he's been a focal point in the passing game. Some years he's been a focal point in the running game. So I don't want to mess with it. What I do know is he leads the team in targets, receptions, receiving yards, and receiving touchdowns. I also know he's top 16 in the NFL in red zone targets, red zone receptions, and targets inside the 10-yard line. Plus, he missed two games this year. So they love this guy when they get close to scoring. We got a total of 54.5 in this game, so they are anticipating scoring, and the Chiefs have very much struggled to defend opposing tight ends this year. So at plus 135, I like the idea of George Kittle finding the end zone. As we work our way down, I think we talked about this a little bit yesterday, Raheem Mostert, Niner running back, under 15.5 rushing attempts. This number's inflated because Mostert carried the ball 29 times last week in the NFC Championship game. That was a career high. To give you some perspective, in 50 career games, Mostert has had 16 or more carries just twice. Both those happened this season, but he's only done that twice. Tevin Coleman practiced on Wednesday. He practiced on Thursday. He should be ready to go for the game, which means he'll get some carries. I think we're going to see some Matt Breida as well. And remember, if the Niners fall behind in this game, they'll have to throw late. 16 carries is a lot for Mostert. I'm going under 15.5. Now, Damian Williams, Chiefs running back. I think we may have mentioned this at one point as well, but I want to drive it home. I'm going under on two props regarding Damian Williams. Under 4.5 receptions and under 29.5 receiving yards. So these are two receiving props for the Kansas City running back. The reason for this is twofold. Number one, the Niners are very, very good at defending opposing running backs when it comes to what they do in the passing game. This year they gave up the second fewest receiving yards and the third fewest receptions to opposing running backs. They also have an outstanding defense in terms of tackling. Go back and look at the Green Bay game and the NFC Championship for evidence of that. Plus, they've got the fastest linebacker in the unit in the league with Quan Alexander, Dre Greenlaw, and Fred Warner. That's why opposing running backs don't have much success. And if you factor in San Francisco's ability to run the football and control the clock, assuming that they have the game flow here, it's going to be limited touches for Damian Williams. So I'm going under 4.5 receptions for Williams, under 29.5 receiving yards. Tyreek Hill, 74.5 receiving yards. I'm going under. Now, a lot of people will look at that and think it's crazy. Hill's a big play guy, so I understand if there's some hesitation, but I want to bring a couple of things to the forefront here. Hill played in 14 games this year. He only hit this mark 5 times. Think about that for a second. 74.5 receiving yards seems low for Tyreek Hill. He hit this mark just 5 times in 14 games. He hasn't hit it once in any of his last 8 games. The Niners rank number one in the NFL in pass defense. And again, if the Niners are controlling the clock with the running game, they were second in rushing this season and fourth in time of possession, it's going to be tough for Hill to get his touches. I wouldn't be surprised if the Niners are doubling him a little bit and forcing the Chiefs to beat them with other guys like DeMarcus Robinson and some of the other wide receivers who aren't as great catching the ball. So I'm going to play under on Tyreek Hill. Three MVP props I'm going to give you. Three MVP props. We've had 53 Super Bowls, right? 52 of the MVPs have come from the winning team. The only time we didn't get that was Chuck Howley Dallas linebacker, Super Bowl V against the Baltimore Colts. So you got to pick the MVP from the team that's going to win. I think the Niners are going to win. I know we'll talk about more of that in a little bit. But I think they're going to do it by containing Patrick Mahomes, at least in a sense of not letting him get outside the pocket. The key for the Niners to winning this game is setting that hard edge on the outside and preventing Mahomes from scrambling outside, because that's where he's at his most dangerous. And I think the Niners are equipped to do that. But Mahomes is a very, very slippery quarterback. He ranked 31st in sacks this year and 22nd last year. You don't bring him down much. So I think they'll be able to get the pressure. I just am not sure they're going to bring him down. That means if they pressure him into some mistakes, guys in the secondary could be looming to make some big plays. And Dexter Jackson pulled this off with Tampa Bay in the Super Bowl as a defensive back. So did Larry Brown for the Cowboys against the Steelers in the 90s. I wouldn't be surprised if that's how this game plays. Someone in the Niners secondary makes some big plays to win the MVP. So I'm looking at safeties. Jimmy Ward at 150-1 and Jaquaski Tartt at 200-1. Those are the two safeties. I'm also going to sprinkle a little bit on D Ford at 150-1 as well. D Ford's been very quiet this week. He's a former Chief. Frank Clark has been calling him out for 2 weeks. Everyone's been talking about how that offsides penalty cost them a chance to win the Super Bowl last year when he blew it against the Patriots late in that game. He's just been very quiet. And while he's been injured this year and limited, he played his second most amount of snaps in the NFC Championship game. There's nothing left to save yourself for. He's going to leave it all on the field, so I don't think he's going to be as limited as people think. He makes one or two big plays in the revenge spot here. I could see him making one key play that swings this game. So at 150-1, it's going to be D Ford. So to recap that, for three MVP picks, Jimmy Ward at 150-1, D Ford at 150-1, Jaquaski Tartt at 200-1. And then if you can find it, final prop, Niners linebacker Fred Warner under 7.5 tackles. I think we talked about this during the NFC Championship game. When Quan Alexander is on the field and healthy, Warner's average tackles are somewhere around 6. When Quan Alexander went down with that injury on October 31st, Halloween at Arizona, Ward's tackles shot through the roof. He put up double digits in a bunch of games. Like, he was a tackling machine. So the translation there is Quan Alexander takes some of those tackles away from him. Quan's been playing, and I've been making this bet every playoff game since he's been back, and it's cashed both times. I'm going to ride it again. But remember, it's got to be at 7.5. If someone tries to give you a 6 or a 6.5 pass on that, Fred Warner under 7.5 tackles.
Okay, Joe, so let's look at the game and let's look at the total. How are you seeing that?
Okay, so I talked to a couple guys that I saw on Radio Row that are just straight gamblers, guys I know from back in the day who do this for a living. They had the same sentiment that I had, but they gave me some more details that I wanted to share with you guys. From what they're hearing regarding the side, people are waiting to pounce on the Niners. That's why and this is to answer the question from yesterday, why the market hasn't been moving at all, is that some of the guys who do this for a living are just waiting to see how high it'll go. Will it get to Kansas City -2? Could it go any higher? It hasn't. And a couple guys fired on the Niners the other day, and the word is at some point over the next couple days, the Niner money is going to make itself known. Believe me, the Niners are too well-balanced and have too good of a season for no one outside of Mattress Mack, right, to be showing up betting on them. So it feels like the storm is going to brew, and at some point the Niners are going to jump in, which means if you can get them +1, +1.5, you may be in better shape than anyone else who wants to play on game day, because that could come down to a pick 'em or swing. So keep an eye on that. With the total, it's sitting at 54.5. The same guy I was talking to said his buy point is 56 on the under. If it gets as high as 56, which makes sense, 9 touchdowns times 7 points apiece equals 56, key number in totals. If it reaches 56, he's going to play the under. I don't think it gets that high, but it won't be a surprise if it climbs a little bit more and then you see that resistance point. The more people I talk to that have an idea of really how to bet, the more I'm feeling that the under is going to be the side the professionals are on. So I think you're going to have the public playing the over. You're going to have the pros looking at the under if they can get a little bit of a better price, and the pushback on the Niners is coming. As you guys know, that's my pick for the Super Bowl. People keep trying to tell me I'm a homer. Again, I'm from Pennsylvania, not the Bay Area. Niners, not my team. I am not biased in this situation. My credibility means the world to me as I pound my ties on a regular basis down here, but that's neither here nor there at the moment. So that's where I'm at. That's where I'm at for the Super Bowl. And for anyone who's questioning, I'm not picking the Niners because I like them. I've been watching them all year. I like the balance. I like their ability to run the ball. I think Kansas City's a little one-dimensional, and I don't trust Andy Reid in the big spot. There's your report from Miami.
Ooh, that nice. last point, Joe, was a little bit of a shock.
Eagles fan.
Yeah.
You've seen it.
It's a little Is a little bit of a what?
A little bit of a shot at Andy Reid.
Oh, yeah. I'll take shots at Andy Reid all day. I mean, I watched Andy in Philadelphia. Right. I think Andy is a great X's and O's coach. The problem is Andy can't handle critical decision-making in high-pressure, high-leverage situations. We've seen it time and time again. Go back to the Tennessee game during the regular season when the guy calls timeout on the two-point conversion. That is like you were going to need a field goal either way. Why were you burning a timeout in that scenario? He burns it. They still convert the two, and then Kansas City has to come down the field, and one more timeout would have helped them get from 52 yards to maybe 42 yards, and Butker wouldn't have had to kick a line drive, which ended up getting blocked. So I've seen it time and time again with Andy. I'm not going to be the least bit surprised if he blows it on a challenge early in the game, is wrong, and then needs that timeout or challenge later and doesn't have it in his pocket. That's just who he is, and he has not changed that narrative.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. I'm kind of with you, Joe. I also took the Niners, and I did it based on I believe they're going to win the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, and it's hard for me to pick a game against a team that's going to actually win up front.
Well, I'm with you. They've got a great pass rush. They're one of the rare teams in the NFL that can generate pressure with four while dropping seven. We saw this blueprint with the New York Giants back in, I think it was 2012, when they did it to Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. That's how they got it done against Brady. That's how they got it done. This is a team that's built very similarly to that. And I think you're going to see that on full display in this game. The ability to drop seven while rushing four is going to be critical. They can generate that pass rush. And remember something. We're so enamored with what Kansas City's done in the playoffs against two bad passing defenses. Houston ranked 29th, Tennessee ranked 24th. Go back to Kansas City's games against Indianapolis when they lost at home on Sunday night to Jacoby Brissett and the Colts. Colts ran the ball and controlled the clock. That's what the Niners do well. Following week, they lost to Houston at home. What did the Texans do? Controlled the ball and ran the clock. That's what the Niners do well. You saw Tennessee beat them later in the year when Tennessee was running the ball. It's the blueprint for beating the Chiefs with Mahomes is out there, and the Niners do it as well as anyone. It plays right in the San Francisco strength.
Joe, thanks for everything all week.
Yeah, Joe, a lot of fun, man.
Enjoy the weekend and the game.
My pleasure, boys.
Tonight's the night to have your fun, pal. This is the night.
Tonight I'm on a plane flying home. There's no fun for your boy. I got to go home. My parents are here. Her parents are here. I'm going to walk in. It's going to be a disaster.
All right, brother.
Have a good one.
We'll talk to you, Joe.
See you, boys.